God is good and all the time. Good morning. Good to see y'all. My name is Nathan Parikh. I'm blessed to serve as the discipleship pastor here at Hallmark. Please continue to be praying for Pastor John and the team that's in Thailand right now. I hope you guys are following them on Facebook, seeing all the pictures and the videos. They're reaching out to the kids at the Manna Worldwide Feeding Center and school that is out there. So I'd encourage you to follow them on social media. If you saw Pastor John, one of his videos that he posted this week, he was showing the school that we kind of raised money for their computers and for the large fan that's in their main auditorium area because they don't have any AC there. And so he said there's a couple more opportunities to give. They still need some more computers. They're still trying to pay off that big old fan. And so I'd encourage you guys to go watch that video, and you can give online to that. Just put in the comments that it's for Thailand. And so please be praying for them, though, that they continue to have a safe and successful and fruitful trip. Our theme this year, it's 2025, second Sunday in a row. So if you guys have made it two Sundays in a row, congrats. Your attendance is still perfect. I'm thankful that you have made it this far. Our theme word for this year is beyond, okay? You're going to be hearing that word a lot. That's kind of how we want to focus this year. And that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 3 through 5. And so let's look at that verse real quick together to kind of get us started today. It says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Okay, and so hopefully you caught beyond there in the very first verse. But one of our goals this year, I hope that you have set for yourself some spiritual goals for 2025. One of the things that we want to do as a church is we want to memorize those verses, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 through 5. And also set your phone alarm for 8:35, either a.m. or p.m. I have mine set for p.m. to pray that God would help you, would help us as a church to go beyond in our faith and in our fellowship this year. I think we can all agree that we can grow in our faith, amen? None of us have arrived to Christian perfection, right? And neither will we until we meet Jesus. But also we need to go beyond in our fellowship, right? Go beyond in how we serve one another, how we love one another right here and right now, right? Because as we'll see today, going through our core values, this series that Pastor John started off last week, he started off with being biblically driven, right? The foundational value for everything else that we talk about here at Hallmark. And today, we're going to talk about being personally involved and how we can go beyond in our fellowship. And so today, we'll be in Matthew chapter 5. If you would turn in your Bibles, open your YouVersion Bible apps to Matthew chapter 5 with me today. So for this series, going through the hallmarks of Hallmark, going through our core values, we are spending time in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the longest sermon by Jesus that's recorded in Scripture. Matthew's chapters 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And last week we talked about how to be a member of Hallmark, what does that mean, right? When we think of the word Hallmark, don't just think about cheesy cards or cheesy Christmas movies that we watch during the holiday season, right? But for us, the word Hallmark, it's a way to authenticate something. It's a mark of authenticity. So what are the marks of someone that is a member of Hallmark Church? First, it's biblically driven, then personally involved, we'll talk about today, and then radically generous, and then outwardly focused. So biblically driven, personally involved, radically generous, and outwardly focused. So today, for being personally involved, there's a lot that we can talk about with being personally involved. And if you go back and look at our previous sermons over the years talking about that, you'll see there's lots of different things to focus on. But for today, the line that I want you to remember is this, is that you can hide or you can step into someone's story. You can hide or you can step into someone's story. To be personally involved, it expands our view of following Jesus beyond just me and Jesus, and we have this good relationship, to embracing the community of the church that God has placed in your life. It helps us move from being just a passive bystander to an active participant, that I'm not only going to follow Jesus personally, but I'm going to follow Jesus with these people that God has placed in my church family alongside of me. Because you and I were designed for community. We were not designed for an isolated relationship, either with each other or with God. We were designed for a communal, to have a communal aspect of our relationship. And church is God's design for that. So in Matthew chapter 5 this morning, Sermon on the Mount, let's start off in verse 1, and then we'll jump down to verse 13 through 16. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. So who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to the crowds, but the primary audience here are his disciples, his followers, those who are followers of Christ. Okay, then jump down to verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Father, I pray that as we open your word this morning, as we look at what it means to be salt and light, that you would open our hearts and show us our next step to follow you. Pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope you guys got your salt packet when you walked in. If not, you can grab one on the way out. We spared no expense in getting you the most premium quality salt that I could find on Amazon. But I want you to hold on to it, all right? I'm sure you've already figured out where we're going with this, but just hold on to it, and we'll talk about it here as we go through the message today, okay? So Jesus gives us two pictures of what he has called us to be as his followers. That's salt and light. The first thing we'll see in verse 13 is that salt must make contact to be tasted. Salt must make contact to be tasted. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Salt is used by pretty much every culture on the planet. The world consumes approximately 31.5 million metric tons of salt per year. That's just a lot of salt, okay? That's today how much salt the world consumes on an annual basis. Even with that, if we were living in the first century, salt would be much more valuable. Because at first, when you and I hear Jesus call us salt, you're probably not like super excited by that, right? It's like we think of salt in these salt packets, or when you go to a restaurant and you have salt in a salt shaker that you want to pour out on your food. It's like, okay, I guess that's kind of cool that Jesus calls us that, I guess. But if you were living in the first century, salt was extremely valuable for several reasons. I mean, you had Roman soldiers, they could choose to accept part of their salary in salt. So instead of getting coins, they would get salt. Salt had a lot more usage in ancient times. It was used, of course, for flavoring and seasoning. It was used for medicine, for healing, and it was also used for preserving their food, right? Because they did not have fridges or freezers back in the day, right? So they had to use salt to preserve their food. Okay, so let's just kind of go through some of these uses of salt. And I've rearranged some of the subpoints there under salt, so don't freak out. We'll get to all of them, okay? So the very first, of course, usage that we are all familiar with salt is to flavor, right? To add flavor to something that is bland. And so for us as Christians, right, we understand that the world lacks the seasoning of Jesus, right? We need to bring a different flavor to our interactions with other people. We need to show the world what it means to be a follower of Jesus, not just in what we say, but in what we do. Because the world has access to so much information now about Jesus, about what Christians believe, right? But what they want to see is someone that actually practices what they preach. That's the rare thing today, isn't it? It's not hard to find someone that can label themselves a Christian. Here in America, they're everywhere, okay? But to find someone that is consistent, whether it's public or private, whether it's going to be known by many people or known by a few, someone that is the same here in church on Sunday morning and you're the same person on Monday morning at your workplace, that's a different story, isn't it? How we speak, how we interact with others, we should bring the seasoning of Christ into each and every interaction, into each and every relationship. Next, we have to heal. Right? Again, we don't use salt that much for healing purposes today. It was much more used in the first century. But even now, if I ever have like a sore throat, I'll put like a salt water gargle on. I'll use that to kind of help soothe my throat. But in ancient times, salt was a much more key element for medicinal purposes. And we live in a world that is sick, don't we? We live in a world that is hurting. We live in a world that doesn't know how to fix their illnesses. That's why we see our culture grasping at straws. Like, what is it that I can hold on to that will give me satisfaction, meaning, purpose, direction? They're grasping in the dark because they don't know the answer. But for us as believers, we have to understand that the world is sick and the medicine that they need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that you cannot do anything to earn your salvation, but God loved us so much anyway that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. And that even after salvation, God does not view us from a performance perspective of, oh, you have to measure up to my standard, but he looks at us and sees Christ who performed on our behalf. Right? That is a concept that the world does not understand. They understand Jesus as a good man, as a good person, as a guy with good morals. But until they embrace him as their personal savior, they will be sick. That's true of us as well, right? And so where is God calling you to bring the healing of the gospel in your life? Again, don't make it theoretical. Where in your life do you see in your coworkers, in your family, in your friends, or your friends here at church, where they need the healing, soothing message of the gospel to bring healing to that situation, right? That is what God has called us to be as believers, is to be salt that brings healing. But I think the primary meaning of the message of Jesus when he called us salt, and I think what the primary understanding of his audience was that was sitting there listening to him in the first century was that of preservation. That was the primary means that they used to preserve their food, was to preserve food from decaying. And so if you caught a fish and you weren't going to eat it today, you were going to eat it in a couple of days, you couldn't throw it in a fridge or a freezer. You had to pack that fish with salt so that it would be preserved. It wouldn't start the decaying process so that when you would go to eat it, it would still be edible. Okay, so the world, when we think of salt, we need to see ourselves as that God has called us to be a preservative. The world is decaying. The Bible says that the world is passing away. It is full of death and sickness. And we are called as believers to be an agent of preservative, to keep back the decay that is naturally occurring. And we can see that. We can see that influence of the world, whether it's in the church or outside, that there is so much decay in our culture, isn't there? Look at marriage, look at family, look at morals, look at ethics, look at leadership. Like, pick your category of life, and it just feels like there is decay, decay, decay. And we as Christians need to stop sitting back and saying, well, I hope that this politician will fix it, or I hope that the schools will fix it, or I hope that the government will fix it. God has called you and me as believers. We are the preservatives. We are the force that God has left on this earth to preserve and to fight against decay. Nobody else. God has called you as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, that we cannot stay sealed in these salt packets. All right, everyone hold up these salt packets. Again, these premium, high quality that I got for you, okay? Right now, what impact does this salt have? None, right? It's still sealed up. There's no flavor being added. There's no preservative that's being done. There's no healing being done. It has the potential for it, right? Because it's here. We have it in our hands. But until we unseal the packet and actually use it, nothing happens. right? The people that were in the first century, they could have had all of the salt in the world, but until they opened it and packed their food full of it, their food would not be preserved. All of us here as Christians, we're here in the church building on Sunday morning, which is great, but we have to let ourselves be personally involved in the lives of people that are here and the lives of people that are outside of these walls to make an impact. Otherwise, you're just going to stay sealed and you'll have potential. You have things that God wants to use you for, things that God has plans for you about how you can be an agent of healing, an agent of preservation. But until you are willing to step out away from isolation and into relationships that are difficult and messy and painful, you will just be sealed up and unused. Right? What does Jesus say about salt that is not salty? He says, if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So this salt that you have in your hand, any salt that we have today, it can't lose its taste in our time because we use sodium chloride. Back in the first century, though, they didn't use sodium chloride. So salt could actually lose its taste. And being in Israel, their primary source for getting salt was from the Dead Sea, right? It's full of salt. So what was the thing that would cause salt to lose its taste? As they would get the salt from the Dead Sea, if it had a bunch of impurities with it, as they dragged up this salt, if it was mixed in with other impure chemicals, then the salt would not be salty. It would not be effective for preservation, for healing, for flavoring. It would lose its taste and they would just throw it out. For us as believers, if we allow the impurities of the world to get mixed in our life, we will become ineffective for God and for his kingdom. Now, you can't lose your salvation, and I'm so thankful for that, but you can lose your effectiveness for God here on this earth. You and I can go through life as Christians, and all we do is we show up to church on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, our lives are full of the impurities of the world. And we wonder, why isn't God working in my life? Why isn't God speaking to me? Why isn't God helping me with these things? Why is so much of my life that I try to submit to God? It's because we're not actually submitting to him. We have packed ourselves so full of impurities that we are unusable for him. And again, as believers, right, it's not the message of if you have impurities in your life is not try harder or do better. The message of the gospel is always that we are incapable on our own to overcome these impurities. The message of the gospel is that only Christ can change us from the inside out, even after we are believers, to be conformed to his image. But also, you cannot go through that process alone. To be personally involved means that you and I must invite other people into our life to be a part of that process, and we must step into that process in other people. So whether you're in a connect group, a discipleship group, in regeneration, all of our groups that we have here at Hallmark, we have the same undercurrent of what we want to accomplish, and that's to get you personally involved in the lives of other people here. The other people personally involved in your life, because you and I cannot make ourselves like Jesus on our own. You can go far, you can do things on your own, sure, but that's not God's design. That's not God's plan for you, is to do everything solo. So believers who don't separate ourselves from impurity, we become ineffective for the kingdom. I was reading through, if you started your Bible reading plan this year, you're probably in Genesis and Job. One of the stories that I read this last week was the story of Lot, Abraham's nephew. I mean, Abraham, one of the heroes of the faith, and Lot is his nephew. Lot, of course, he chooses to go live in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Which we know, if you've read the scripture, you know that is a place that God judged with severity. And Abraham, so God comes to Abraham and tells him up front that he's going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham's like, wait, God, what if there's 50 righteous people? God's like, I won't send judgment. What if there's 45? God said, I won't send judgment. And then Abraham kind of goes through this exercise back and forth until he works down to like 10. Like, God, what if there's just 10 righteous people? And God says, I won't send judgment. But then God goes and he visits Sodom and Gomorrah. And what we see there in Lot, who had lived with Abraham his entire life, is that he had been compromised. Yes, he was a follower of God. Yes, the Bible describes him as a righteous man, but he had surrounded himself with sin. He had invited sin into his family. You see that in how he speaks about his daughters. You see that in the whole interaction in the following chapter. You see that even though Lot was a believer, his life was so full of impurity that God could not use him where he was. He was ineffective for the kingdom. And that is not what we want, is it? We're not just here just to make it through life and say, oh, I'm glad I made it to heaven by the skin of my teeth. I think we're here because we want purpose and meaning. We want to have a life that is victorious, that exemplifies the power of the gospel to a watching world. Amen. If that's going to happen, we have to separate ourselves from the impurity that the world is constantly trying to shove in our face. It doesn't matter if you open up an app, open up the TV, if you open up a magazine, whatever it may be, the world is trying to contaminate you and I with its impurities. The only way that you and I can stay clean is, yes, in your daily time in the Word, but also in your time with other believers. Iron sharpens iron. The way that you and I stay sharp, the way you and I stay effective for the kingdom is that we are constantly learning, growing, practicing what we preach right here in this building by how we love one another, how we serve one another, how we forgive one another. I hope that your goal at any church, but especially at Hallmark, would not be to never have any problems. But I hope your goal would be, how does a church handle its problems? How does it handle relational differences? How does it handle cultural differences? How does it handle offense? The Bible lays it all out for us, and that's what the world needs to see from us, is that we actually practice what we preach. And so these packets, these are full of potential, but nothing will happen if they remain unopened. You and I, as salt, we are full of potential that God can use to bring healing, to bring preservation to the world. But you and I have to step out in faith. We can either hide or we can step into someone's story. You know, it's January and this is the season of great intentions, right? I'm sure you guys all renewed your gym memberships. Hopefully you went at least once if you've already renewed that, right? But it's like you've made all these goals for the year, all these plans for the year. Hopefully it's still going well. But if you're like me, every year when you write your new list of goals and you go back and look at last year's goals, like, oh man, I didn't do most of these things, right? We have good intentions, right? We have good desires that we want to accomplish, so much potential, but good intentions, good desires is not enough. Just like the salt has to be poured out to fulfill its purpose, you and I have to let ourselves be poured out by the Lord in the lives of the people that are around us in order to be used. So to be personally involved, you can hide or you can step into someone's story. So we've seen salt. Now number two, light must be public to be seen. Light must be public to be seen. Look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. So Jesus now shifts from what is relatively invisible, salt, to now what is very public and very visible, which is light. And so what he kind of focuses on, he says, taste the salt, see the light, right? Salt works kind of undercover, if you will. It doesn't try to take over if you season it properly, right? But light is very visible. It's very public. So he uses this image of a city set on a hill. So typically during this time period, cities would be built on hilltops for multiple reasons, for security primarily. They could build a fortress, they could be able to see who's coming, they could fortify the city properly, a city set on a hill. But at nighttime, when that city would be full of lights, of course they didn't have electronic lights, they had candles, they had oil lamps, if you were traveling, you could see that light as you were traveling, right? Because there was no street lights. That would be the only light that you could see while you were a traveler during ancient times. And so Jesus used this picture for us, is that we are to be the light of the world. Again, what does that imply? That implies that the world is dark. That implies that the world is a dark place and they need someone to shine the light. And this is interesting because Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And now he gives us that same title. We are not lights in and of ourselves. We are the reflections of the light of Christ in our life. And so it is our job to give people who are lost in the dark guidance and direction. It is our job to give illumination to those who are seeking the truth. I think we live in a time, I don't know if you guys have sensed it, but I feel like our culture now is sensitive to spiritual things. I feel like they are looking for an answer. I think this current generation has rejected the notion that everything is materialistic, everything has to be explained perfectly by science. I think we're open to something that is spiritual, but the question is, what spiritual thing will they land on? Because there's a lot of spiritual options in the world, but there's only one truth. And so for us as believers, are we going to be there as lights guiding them to what is true, or are they going to go from one darkness to another darkness? From a materialistic, scientific-only darkness to a false spirituality darkness. And so it is our job as believers to shine that light in our culture. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." So what is one of the main ways that we give off light is by the unfolding of the word of God. That's why we start off with being biblically driven. It doesn't matter which part of our service or our groups that you go to, whether it's the main service here, again, or connect groups, or a discipleship group, or a regen group, the fundamental premise of all those things is that we're going to walk with you through the Bible. Because the Bible is what sheds light on us, doesn't it? Even as believers, God uses the word of God to expose the areas of your life that do not honor him. And for us, you know, there's so many opinions out in our culture as we try to reach out to the world. Why would our opinion matter? And the truth is that it doesn't. That's why we have to share the word of God with the world. Because the world has heard many opinions and many thoughts, but they have not met many believers that can actually open up the word of God and show what God has said to them. When you and I can do that, what a great opportunity and privilege it is to do that. But first, you must know it yourself. That's why, again, if you have not started on the reading plan, I would encourage you to grab one on your way out today. It's out here in the foyer, in the lobby. It's on our website. Start reading through the Bible for yourself. If you are dependent on Pastor John or us to only give you your only dosage of the Bible from the pulpit on Sunday mornings, better than nothing, but not the ideal, right? You will grow more spiritually when you are feeding yourself with the Word of God on a daily basis. So a city set on a hill was there for illumination. It was there for guidance. But look, who is it there for? He says, "You are the light of the world," right? This is for people that are lost. This is for people that are out there. It's salt of the earth. It's light of the world. This fits in great with the mission of Jesus that he gave us in the Great Commission. It says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples." He told us to go into the world. Our whole faith, the very last words of Jesus was commanding us to take this message and this truth to people who needed it. We are not called, again, to stay in the salt shaker or the salt packet. We're not called to stay in there. We are called to go out. We are called to make a difference. You know, a lot of people over the years, over the course of human history, have thought that the best way to keep yourself pure from the world so that we don't become ineffective, the only way that I can really be that way is if I basically live a monastic lifestyle, right? I cut myself off from everything of the world. I cut myself off from everyone and everything so that way it's just me, Jesus, and some other Christians, and then I'll be good. Humanly speaking, that makes sense, right? It's hard to get contaminated if you're never around anything dirty, right? That is not the model that Jesus set up for us. He said, go be in the world, but not of the world. And that's because greater is he that is in you, that is in the world, that we as salt and light can go out into the darkness, go out into the disease, go out into the corruption, and still remain salt and light. Now, if we go out there and we're unprepared spiritually, we're not walking with Jesus, then yeah, that impurity can take us down. But God's design for us is not to retreat into isolationism. Our design, our calling, is to be agents of change and influence in our culture. And I think we've lost a lot of influence as a whole, church and Christianity, lost influence in our culture because we have not practiced what we preached. The world has heard for many years what we believe, but it has not seen the love, the evidence of our relationship with Jesus that we talk so much about. The world will know you are my disciples, how? By how you love one another. And how can we love one another if we are not personally involved, if we are not in the weeds with each other's lives? It's easy to love one another if you have no idea what's going on in these people's lives, right? I can show up on Sunday, I can wave, I can say hi to you, how's it going, love you. But until we're actually in relationship, that's when that love is fleshed out, right? So that's what God is calling us to, both in here and out there. The world needs to see our effective relationships here in the church, but also we need to extend that to our relationships in the world. And he talks about this light that is hidden there in verse 14. He says, or rather 15, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Okay, so light that is hidden, right? He's saying light that is kept secret. I think a lot of us, the temptation, especially in our culture, is that, hey, it's cool that if you want to follow Jesus, if that's how you want to live your life, if that's how you want to guide your family, great. But like, you know, don't impose that on anybody else. And so we've, I think, been lulled into this situation where we feel like we have to keep our walk with Jesus a secret. It's like, hey, I love Jesus and I'll serve him. But like, you know, it's just me as an undercover Christian here in the world, just kind of doing my thing, just trying to survive. And Jesus says that is not the design. He did not set his light in you so that we could be undercover Christians, okay? You ever watch those shows like Undercover Boss, Undercover CEO, right? Like, that's not God's design for us to be an undercover Christian in this world. We are to be light, right? When light shows up in a room, it is visible. It is obvious, right? We don't have any question that the lights are on in this building today, right? The light is here. When you and I are in our relationships, in our interactions at work, at school, in our family, it should be obvious that the light of Jesus is permeating our heart, that the light of Jesus has made an impact in our life. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, he says, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Christians have always lived in dark times. We have our own unique issues today, 2025 in the U.S., but Paul, when he wrote this thousands of years ago, he was writing to believers in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. And the same sentence could be applied to today, right now, 2025, Fort Worth, right? But in that context, we are still called to shine as lights in the world. So you can hide, you can stay safe, you can try to stay protected from the impurities of the world, you can try to protect yourself from getting hurt through relationships in the church, or you can step into someone's story and make an impact and make a change. Finally, in verse 16, we'll see that we must stick together to make an impact. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We must stick together to make an impact. So, in case we hadn't understood, Jesus makes it very clear here that letting your light shine equals good works, right? How do we let our light shine in a dark world? People will see how you and I speak. They will see how you and I act. They will see how you and I treat our families, our coworkers, how we treat those who are unkind to us. They will see how we act. And what does he say will happen? They will glorify God. And that is where the power of our testimony comes into play. He does not say that they will hear what you say and they'll just hear about your beliefs and say, oh, that's great that you have those beliefs. He says, no, they will see your good works and then they will glorify God. What we believe should work itself out in what we do at some point, right? We can't just sit and never have any outward expression of faith. But more than that, though, whenever we think about salt, whenever we think about light, when you have salt, you never just want salt for just like one granule, do you? Right? If you ever go to, if you're going to have lunch this afternoon, I hope you will. Like, I don't think that you're going to give me just one little grain of salt and put it right there on top of the steak or whatever, and that's all that I need, right? No, you guys like shake it out, you know, you guys are like pounding it to get all the salt out that you possibly can. Same thing when they're trying to preserve their food, right? They weren't just like putting one grain of salt on that fish and hopefully that would be enough. No, they would pack it full of a bunch of different grains of salt. Again, for us as a community, you are to be salt and light where you are, but the word that Jesus uses for you in Texan is y'all, okay? He says, y'all are the salt of the earth. Y'all are the light of the world. It's plural, right? We collectively, together, I can only do so much, Nathan Parikh, on my own. And God's called me to be an influence and to be salt and light where I am. But it is us collectively that God has given this commission to primarily. We, together as a church, Hallmark Church, can we reach South Fort Worth? I believe we can, together. Not on our own. God has called us as a church body to be salt and light in this part of Fort Worth. It is collectively together. The same thing with the light that was in a city, right? Here in the booth, right? If it's just one light, if it's just one light, how effective would that be? Right? The world is a dark place. Your workplace is a dark place. Some of your families are dark places. Your school, your team, dark places, and one light is good. It's better than having nothing. But how much more impact can we, as a collective, as a group of lights, as a city of lights, as a body of believers, how much more effective can that be to bring light to a dark world? How can we enact preservation in our culture today? It's by working together as a church family. How can we bring light to the world, right? More lights is better than that one light, right? You can actually see now. That's the same thing for the world. One light is good. A lot of lights is better. And that's what God has called us to do as a church family. And so just like salt, Christians can't fulfill our purpose from the sidelines. Just like light, we cannot fulfill our purpose if we are undercover. Being personally involved is one of our core values as a church because Jesus calls us to live this way, fully engaged with the community, fully engaged with our culture, fully engaged with one another. That is what God has called us to be as believers, so that people may give glory to God, right? That is the goal. That is the purpose. One final thought as we kind of begin to wrap this up is that Jesus does not say you will become the salt or that you will become the light. He says, you are. He says, you are salt, you are light. This is your identity right now as a believer. If you are a follower of Jesus, then your identity has been given to you and assigned to you by Jesus. We live in a culture where the current thing to do is you have to try to discover and pick your identity. But in the kingdom of God, he chooses our identity for us and assigns it to us. And one of the identities he's given to us is salt and light. The moment that you know Christ, you are called to influence the world and preserve the world in his name. And this is who Jesus sees you as right now. So salt and light, these are not distant goals. They are your identity in Christ today. Because we were once decaying and dead. We were once ourselves lost in darkness. And now God has set you on a mission to help bring others the truth of the gospel. Ephesians 5:8 says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That is our calling. Remember, who is Jesus talking to? All of his disciples, his followers. And so you've been holding on to this salt packet throughout the message. Hopefully you haven't eaten it yet. But I want you to just hold on to that, okay? It's sitting there unopened. It hasn't flavored anything yet. It hasn't preserved anything yet. It hasn't healed anything yet. It hasn't made any difference yet. And as you take that home with you, as you, you know, I'm not expecting you to hold that on a salt packet forever. But as you take it home, ask God, where do I need to be salt and light this week? Where do I need to bring the healing message of the gospel? Where do I need to bring preservation in a place that is broken and decaying? Because we often like to wait until we have everything figured out to have a place of impact or a place of influence. But the thing about salt doesn't really have a say in where it lands. It just gets poured out. And we as believers just need to allow ourselves to get poured out, and God will use that. God will use you for his honor and for his glory. And so as the band comes up, I want to leave you with just a few action steps today. Is that first of all, as believers, maybe some of you are sitting here like, you know, I know I'm a follower of God. I know that I love Jesus. I know that I'm saved. But my Christian walk feels a little bit tasteless, a little bit dull. My life feels like I don't have God's power in my life. You know, and maybe it's because you've stopped fighting sin. Maybe it's because your life has become too packed with impurities that God cannot speak to you, God cannot use you. Maybe we're so busy feasting on the things of the world that we forget what the things of God taste like. And so if that's you this morning, I would encourage you to take some time, whether it's right there in your seat or if you're going to come forward during the invitation, to just confess those things to God. But also, if we're going to practice being personally involved, confess it to someone else here at church as well. Share your sin struggle with someone else so that you don't have to fight it alone. Right? When we drag things into the light, there is healing. And so three action steps to leave you guys with. First of all is shake off isolation. So in your home, you know, parents, discipling your kids, that's your responsibility, first and foremost. Forgiving each other, creating salt-preserving legacies of truth and love in your home are things that God has called us to do as families. In our church family, just like your home, your church home is filled with imperfect, broken, and sinful people. But that is not an excuse for us to be isolated from the community that God has called us to be a part of. And so if you're sitting here and you've been attending church for a while, but you haven't taken your next step of membership, you haven't gotten plugged into a connect group yet, you want to get involved in a discipleship group, or you want to check out Regen, whatever that next step is for you, I can tell you that God's plan for you is not to be isolated and alone in your Christian walk. And it's good that you're sitting here in this sanctuary surrounded by people, but you need to invite people in to your life to help you walk with Jesus. It might be hard, it might be scary, but I promise you that's worth it. I promise you that's where you will find new victories, lasting healing, and ongoing help through the struggle of life. Shake off isolation. Also, be poured out, right? Be like salt, where God can open you up and he can pour you out. At church, maybe that means you're going to come and serve. You're going to find a new serving team to be a part of, or you've never served anywhere. Find a place where God can use you and you can be salt and light here. But also, serve your family, serve your community, serve your coworkers, serve your neighbors. Be poured out, just be available, and let God use you. And then finally, live as light. Sometimes the way we conduct ourselves is the first exposure to the gospel that someone will have. They will know that you are Christians by your love, how you respond, how you handle situations, what you say, what you don't say. The gospel came to you because it was on its way to somebody else, and the time to be an undercover Christian is over. And if you feel like maybe that's described how you've lived your life, at least recently, ask God this morning to help you not be an undercover Christian, but to shine brightly as a light in a dark and broken and sick world. Because that is his plan for you, and I promise he will answer that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize, I feel like I am lost. What you described about being in darkness, in decay, that describes my whole life. Well, Jesus, he invites us. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't care what you've done, what your background is, what your family background is. There is nothing that disqualifies you from accepting the free gift of salvation other than your own pride. God has extended the invitation to every man and woman and child. He says he wants everyone to come to salvation. And so that extension is to you as well. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you come from, what your background is. The extension of the offer of a free gift of salvation is for you as well. And so this morning, I will just kind of walk you guys through a prayer before we jump back into the music. If you're sitting there wondering, how can I know Christ? It's very simple. Pastor John walks us through this almost every week. It's admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you are a sinner. Admit that you can never be good enough to save yourself. B is believe. Believe that Jesus is who he said that he is. Believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And believe that his offer of salvation extends to you as well. And C is confess. Confess that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. So this morning, if you want help with that, feel free to find me after service. I'll be right down here at the front. Talk with the person that brought you to church today. I'm going to pray over us right now. Whether you're a believer that needs to separate yourself from impurities, or you're realizing today that you need to be saved, I want to encourage you to pray and take your next step. Father God, thank you so much for the challenge from your word. I thank you that you have called us as your children to be salt and light. You've called us to be preservatives in a decaying and broken world. You've called us to be light in a dark world. Father, I pray that you would help me and help all of us who are believers, Lord, that you would separate us from the impurities in our lives that would keep us from being useful and effective for you and for your kingdom. I pray today that each of us would lay those at your feet, at the foot of the cross, that we would be salt and light in our homes, in our marriages, with our children, at our workplace, at our school, here with our church family. Lord, we know that we will not be perfect this side of heaven, but Father, we want to be more like you. We want to be useful for you and for your kingdom. We don't want to be salt that is useless. We don't want to be undercover, top secret Christians. We want to be Christians who are unashamed and unafraid of the gospel. And so, Father, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you, I pray that they would right now, right where they're seated, they would turn away from their sins. They put their faith and trust in you alone to save them. You would allow them to be a part of this faith community where they would get personally involved and discipled, and they would allow other people into their life to point them to you. Father, I pray that you would give them boldness and courage, Lord, to come up to me, to talk to the person that brought them today, that they would not be ashamed to let someone know that they've accepted you or they want to follow you today. Lord, I thank you for shining the light of the gospel in our hearts. I pray that we would go out today, as we go out to our homes, to our workplaces this week, that we would carry that torch of hope and truth with us, with boldness, with courage, and with faith. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.